Wednesday, February 18th, Ash Wednesday. The lesson from Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 19. Thus saith the Lord, Be converted to me with all your heart, in fasting and in weeping and in mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments, and turn to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, patient and rich in mercy, and ready to repent of the evil. Who knoweth but he will return and forgive, and leave a blessing behind him, sacrifice and libation to the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Sion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather together the people, sanctify the church, assemble the ancients, gather together the little ones, and them that suck at the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth from his bed, and the bride out of her bride chamber. Between the porch and the altar the priests, the Lord's ministers, shall weep and shall say, Spare, O Lord, spare thy people, and give not thy inheritance to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Why should they say among the nations, Where is their God? The Lord hath been zealous for his land, and hath spared his people. And the Lord answered and said to his people, Behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be filled with them, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations, saith the Lord Almighty. Haydock Commentary. To move the heart to repentance, these external works are required, at least in will. If they be willfully omitted, it is a sure sign that the heart is not moved. So says St. Jerome. Rend your hearts, not your garments. It was customary to rend one's garments in great distress, but God will not be satisfied with mere external proofs of repentance. He will forego his threats if we do penance. He punishes unwillingly. See Isaiah 28:21. Confidence in God and repentance must accompany prayer. Indignation is excited when a person perceives anything contemned which he loves. So God resented the injuries done maliciously by the Gentiles toward his people, though he often punished them for their correction or greater merit. He will resent the blasphemies uttered by infidels against his holy name, and will restore fertility to the land. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 21. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, When you fast, be not as the hypocrites, sad, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not to men to fast, but to thy Father who is in secret. And thy Father who seeth in secret will repay thee. Lay not up to yourselves treasures on earth, where the rust and moth consume, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up to yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither the rust nor moth doth consume, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where thy treasure is, there is thy heart also. Haydock Commentary. Christ does not condemn public fasts as prescribed to the people of God, but fasting on account of vainglory and for the esteem of men. St. Bernard says, The 40 days fast, my dear brethren, is not an observance peculiar to ourselves. It is kept by all who unite with us in the profession of the same faith, nor is it without reason that the fast of Christ should be an observance common to all Christians. What is more reasonable than that the different members should follow the example of the head? If we have been made partakers with him of good, why not also of evil? Is it generous to exempt ourselves from everything that is painful, and to partake with him in all that is agreeable? With such dispositions, we are members unworthy of such a head. Is it much for us to fast with Christ, who expect to sit at the table of the Father with him? Is it much for the members to suffer with the head, when we expect to be made one day partakers with him in glory? Happy the man who shall imitate such a master. He shall accompany him whithersoever he goes. Wherefore, my dear brethren, if the taste only has caused us to offend God, let the taste only fast, and it will be enough. But if the other members also have sinned, let them also fast. Let the eye fast if it has been the cause of sin to the soul. Let the ear fast, the tongue, the hand, and the soul itself. Let the eye fast from beholding objects which are only calculated to excite curiosity and vanity, that being now humbled it may be restrained to repentance, which before wandered in guilt. Let the ear fast from listening to idle stories and words that have no reference to salvation. Let the tongue fast from detraction and murmuring, from unprofitable and sacrilegious discourse. Sometimes also, out of respect to holy silence, from speaking what appears necessary and profitable. Let the hand also fast from useless works, and from every action that is not commanded. But above all, let the soul fast from sin and the doing of its own will. Without these fasts, all others will not be accepted by the Lord. Fast from what is in itself lawful, that you may receive pardon for what you have formerly done amiss. Redeem an eternal fast by a short and transitory one. For we have deserved hellfire, where there will be no food, no consolation, no end, where the rich man begs for a drop of water and is not worthy to receive it. A truly good and salutary fast, the observance of which frees us from eternal punishment by obtaining for us in this life the remission of our sins. Nor is it only the remission of former transgressions, but likewise a preservative against future sin, by meriting for us grace to enable us to avoid those faults we might otherwise have committed. I will add another advantage which results from fasting, one which I hope I am not deceived in saying you have frequently experienced. It gives devotion and confidence to prayer. Observe how closely prayer and fasting are connected. Prayer gives us power to fast. Fasting enables us to pray. Fasting gives strength to our prayer. Prayer sanctifies our fast and renders it worthy of acceptance before the Lord.